Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Well, in the first half, I go over the nuts and bolts of attending Ozzy's funeral over the weekend. Ron Funches joins us as well. Very funny comedian. First, I'll tell you about Geico. Do you own, do you rent your home? Well, you do one or the other, right? And then there's your automotive policy, and you got to get your bundle going. So you take your automotive or your renter's, you take your automotive insurance and your renter's or your homeowner's insurance, and you bundle it up and you use Geico. It's a good thing too, because you already have so much to do around your home. Go to geico.com, get a quote, see just how much you could save. It's Geico easy. That's geico.com.
The world of true crime is seductive.
We're detached from the reality of horrific stories happening in strangers' lives.
And we feel safe when we listen, because we never think it will happen to us until it does.
I've seen some of the most beautiful homes on Long Island, and I've seen the worst in Joel Rifkin.
In 1989, I was an eyewitness to the execution of Ted Bundy.
I'm Tara Newell, and I killed Dirty John.
I'm Jim Jones Jr. I was raised in the Jones family. There was 300 bodies under the 500. Everyone was dead.
For people that are so quick to tell me to get over it, he slit my brother's throat.
I'm Jack Vanek.
I'm Billy Jensen.
And I'm Alexis Linkletter. And we are The First Degree. And every week, we're talking murders, serial killers, and cults. All told through the eyes of a guest who is one degree away from the story itself.
Morning bells are ringing, and we're the ones bringing light rock with less talk. We got Celine Dion on deck, Spandau Ballet on the way. We'll get under the weeds with Savage Garden in a few minutes. You're tuned to the Toolbox. Hey, our slight chance of rain has gone down the drain, and temps will be slowly creeping up this week. Before you know it, it'll be fire season in California. Smokey the Bear says only you can prevent forest fires. And what do we need you for, Smokey? Isn't that just like the government? Are Caitlyn Jenner's balls big enough to be governor of California? We'll discuss today at noon. Brought to you by Olive Garden. Olive Garden, when you're here, something went wrong. Talk about songs that couldn't be made today, or at least wouldn't be covered by CNN. When President Biden was asked about the border, he said, "I like our old stuff, like Borderline. It's Madonna if you wanna, so we're gonna on the Toolbox." Carolla One Studios in Glendale, California. This is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, Ron Funches, with Gina Grad on news, Bald Brian on sound effects, and a spirited round of the Rotten Tomatoes game. And now, he's got a lot of unpopular opinions, but he's also got a lot of popular opinions. Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice, but got a mandate. You get it on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for telling a friend. We love that about you, right, Gina Grad?
That's right.
Handball, Brian.
The fuck?
All right. Well, Max Pound, my little screen here isn't working, but I'm not sure what the cause of that is. But anyway. So I, over the weekend, went to Ozzy's funeral.
Oh.
I sat next to Ray and Chris. Couple things about the mask and wearing a suit to a funeral. I sat down at the end. I was sitting next to Ray, and after about 10 minutes, I went, "Where's Chris?" And he went, "He's sitting right next to us."
No.
But the mask, especially obscured. The big-time mask,
yeah,
mixed with the suit, could not figure it out.
Were sunglasses involved? Because that can really mess things
up. Yeah, you're very Secret Service.
He wasn't wearing them, but I was wearing three pair because
right.
I didn't want to be recognized.
That's fair.
I was like that preacher. Who doesn't know the bass drum from a pipe organ.
Two person sunglasses.
That guy, yeah.
Hey, two thoughts about Dawson's intro. First of all, fantastic. Secondly, the remix, there was some talk before about remixes that made you think like the 80s song where it's just more crap. Do, 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 do. It's
right.
Not like musicianship. It's just do, do,
right.
An extra round of do,
right.
Do, do, do.
Right. It's like somebody said this soup isn't thick enough, and someone went, well, just dump flour into it.
Yeah. Make it a roux.
All right, but that's not making it better. Right. Yeah, but you said you wanted it thicker. There's more.
Right.
There's more.
What's the problem?
Yeah, I know. The remix, like the extended dance version remix, which is just one looped syntho part from the song. You're not adding anything to the song.
You're right.
Lengthening the song.
And these days they would yell, soup, because they go, remix, for no reason.
Oh, really?
Yeah. They yell that at the beginning of every remix.
I don't know why, but Sonny's now old enough to laugh his ass off when we're watching some movie. I can't remember what it was a few days ago, but something was done to somebody, and I was explaining
to him. Sounds hilarious.
Yeah, I said to him, oh, when I was young, in my room, I had one of those patent fans, those kind of industrial ones that were like on the floor with the weird bent metals on high, and they threw an entire sack of gold metal flour into the fan, and good you stuff. Couldn't see your hand in front of your face. And Sonny was laughing his ass off. He was like, God, I can't believe your friends would do that.
It's
and I was
a good
like,
time.
Yeah, in a few years, we'll get into the real stuff. They did. That was considered.
The hate crimes.
Yeah, the sack of flour in the fan was considered bullet dodge.
That's adorable.
Yeah. That's what they did when they were storing up, you know, when they're working
brewing.
Their bowels up and brewing and getting to the real stuff.
So how was the funeral? What was that like?
Well, the funeral was interesting. It was at Hollywood Forever.
Wow.
And they have wild peacocks running all about
the
place.
They're showing a movie.
Yeah. And the
mean geese there, too.
The peacocks just let these screams out for no good reason. Yeah. And
it must be mating season.
You could all hang your head for a moment of silence and prayer, and then you'd hear this peacock just, wah! Wah! And it's like, it kind of freaks out a little bit.
Shut up.
Yes. At some point, three peacocks started heading into the tent we were all in and had to be shooed away by an usher. Like they were just, they were just heading in. You know, I've talked about the marriage with the rabbi and the priest.
Mm-hmm.
Never really considered the bilingual funeral.
Oh, twice as long.
Everything was done in English and then in Spanish.
Yep.
And oftentimes the same person
Aussie
would just
spoke
do the beginning. I know. And then they would do the rest. Yep. And then they'd come back to the English again. So it took a little while. Had one of the most insane horn honks ever, which is after the funeral was pretty long. It was about an hour and a half, maybe 2 hours. After that, it's also kind of a weird thing. The pallbearers, you know, they just kind of walk around to the crowd and go, hey, you look fit. You know, you want to hop up there? And
did they really?
Yeah, it kind of seems like the kind of thing they should work out in advance, you know, because guys could have bad backs or feel
that's
weird.
Interesting.
I was asked to be a pallbearer on the day of my aunt's funeral, and I was post like cancer treatment. Like, I was like, can I be on the right side? Because this is going to go badly if I'm not.
This was 10 minutes before the casket. Open casket, which I've not been to in a while. Wow, that's good and weird. So the thing about the open casket is everyone goes, oh, it's weird. And then they go, you got to go. You got to go up there. And then you go, I thought we established this was weird and haunting. And they're like, yeah, but go anyway.
Yeah.
So there was that. Now, the horn honk. So this place is Hollywood Forever Funeral Home is kind of like the Madonna Inn, bringing all roads leading to Madonna. It's just kind of funky and weird.
There's just
like
Madonna
Inn. There's headstones everywhere, and I can't, you know,
there's no HOA in the Hollywood Forever Cemetery.
I study commercials. Yeah. Boy, do I study headstones. Like I walk by, you see that couple, and it's like, God, she outlived him by 37 years.
Yeah.
You know, he died in 79.
Yeah.
She died in 2018. Holy shit.
Yeah.
You know, like all that stuff.
There's a lot of face etchings.
Of face etchings and just flat out photographs that have been grafted onto the headstone, which is, I don't know. I'm a little older school with the
high tech stuff.
Yeah, it's a little weird. Yeah. It's kind of like the birthday cakes that are airbrushed. Yeah. I don't want to see an exact likeness of the kid as I drag the knife through his neck.
Yeah,
that feels
essence.
Weird.
Just give me a clown. Or a
right. So, but the horn honk. So after I got the kind of breakdown on Ozzy, Ozzy worked with Chris, my buddy, doing earthquake rehab in like 86. He then got pawned off to Ray, who did earthquake rehab 3 years later.
It's a terrible eulogy.
And then at some point, he got pawned off to me. And then luckily, I made it in show business, so I never had to cut him loose.
Right.
But if I was making $15 an hour, I may have had to make some business decisions.
Correct.
So Ozzy hung out, flap steak and chimichurri and all that. But anyway, the horn honk. So the woman who's kind of been putting the whole thing together is just an angel's name, Sharon. And I met Sharon when we did the Hammer, and she met Ozzy when we were doing the Hammer. And as soon as the Hammer, she loved Ozzy. And then as soon as the Hammer ended filming, she had Ozzy doing work at her house and became like, I don't know, the son she never had. And they became very close. And so at the end of the funeral, we're standing by my car. This was Ray and Chris. And, you know, we go back 40 years plus. And I hadn't seen each other in a while. So it's like three guys standing in a suit. And we're all kind of commiserating and talking about Ozzy and that kind of stuff. And at some point, Sharon and her girlfriend, the angels who were working when Ozzy was in the hospital and trying to get him the best care and everything, they just stopped their car next to our car in the back where the funeral, mm-hmm. where all the roads are right. in the back there amongst the headstones and mausoleum and everything. Mm-hmm. And she just stopped, did that move for a second where she went like, thanks for coming out. I know Ozzy. And a honk on the horn behind her, standing in a fucking graveyard. Everyone's wearing horrible. A suit. She like stopped for a beat to say thanks for coming out. And the guy behind her, who was also just attending a funeral, possibly Ozzy's.
The fuck?
Just literally just honked.
That's
just, horrible. Just laid on the horn while we were just standing yeah. by the hood, leaning in, going, thanks for coming out.
That's crazy.
Ray didn't piss on his car?
It's crazy. And then...
should be so lucky.
Right.
And then look for a place to park right next to us. As like, who are these people
like
that are
quail.
So unaware... yeah. of their environment.
The
it's
fuck?
It's insane. We're at a, first off, we're at a mortuary. We're standing, everyone's wearing a suit. Yeah. We've just attended a funeral, and the person who's talking to us presumably just attended the funeral too, and is either saying thanks for coming, shedding tears,
right.
or saying we'll see at Arts Deli.
Right.
It's in Studio City. Laid right into the horn.
That's your head to toe in block. You're bereaved.
You were just standing there. Jesus. She didn't. She, her car didn't come to a complete stop before the guy was on the horn.
What
Who
a
is
major.
That person?
That's pretty
douche.
Wild.
That is major douchery,
that's,
right?
That's crazy.
She had us out of the movie that night.
Yeah. So anyway, that was that was interesting.
But and Ray, really, there was no confrontation, August style.
Now we're all too old. We just stood there and just looked at the person like they're insane and then watched as they tried to find a place to park 20 feet from where we're all still standing. All big dudes, by the way. Just going to get out. Just going to park.
It's reprehensible.
I completely agree. Also, we were outdoors. They have a tent out there, but still, because everyone's nuts, everyone's wearing a mask
yeah.
outdoors.
Yeah.
And then everyone delivers the eulogy with the full mask,
yeah.
which
really?
Does not
just,
yes,
just
does not convey
that.
Much of anything.
No.
Like, so much is in the face. And when it's pulled up just under the, you know, the bridge yeah. of the nose to pass the chin, you're not getting their emotions
no.
or their thoughts
no.
or their feelings.
And if they're a little shy or if they're a little older, you can't hear
project.
Them. You can't interrupt them to say, we can't hear you. It's very difficult.
I did that move, which was like, it's the perfect. I was sitting in the middle back and, you know, they're doing, if anyone has anything to say, and, you know, Ozzy's kids got up there and people were coming up and they were short and sweet, not as verbose as your people, Gina.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then at some point, people like looking at me like, come on, you got to say something. You got to say something. I was like, I just want to sit here. And then couple of people brought my name up. Like, we want to thank Adam because putting Ozzy in the movie, that was a big deal
yeah.
for him and blah, blah. Once my name got brought up a couple of times. So I was like, I was going to be the last person to go. So it's like
the closer.
So there was this pause and everyone's just kind of looking at me and I went like, okay. And I stood up and I took like three steps toward the podium. And of course, an elderly
yep,
woman stood
yep.
up right in front of me and started walking. I had to do the move where I walked backwards
hey.
And
yep.
pretended
moonwalk.
To sit down. I did a full moonwalk and sat down. It's like, oh, of course
yep.
she had to stand
yep.
up and say something. And I had to go, oh, yeah, no, it's good.
You like.
So there was that.
Oh, God. Did you say something?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I talked about, you know, I'll tell you what I said about Ozzy. Ozzy's a guy, you know, he always showed up. He was always in a great mood. Mm-hmm. He was making this cluck cluck sound for the kids all the time. He was happy. He was always gregarious, mm-hmm. always laughing, always a kind of smile on his face, and in a good mood. And I said, you know, that's who Ozzy was. But I said, it's not like Ozzy didn't have bad days right. or problems. That's what he chose yes. to bring. So all of us who, when people go, how's it going? Oh, don't get me started.
Yeah. You don't want to know.
That's our mode. And the people who are constantly in a good mood, have a smile on their face, something nice to say, cheerful, well, we look at them sometimes as dullards who don't have problems. But take my word for it, Ozzy had problems. He just didn't burden you with his problems, which I thought that's the lesson we should learn from Ozzy. Because everyone talked about, whoa, he's such a great mood, and there's always just great energy, and always a kind thing to say, and blah, blah, always a smile on his face. And it's like, yeah, but he had arguably had more problems than I had, or many of the people whose face he was trying to put a smile on, but he didn't tell you about it.
Yeah.
He didn't burden you with it. He didn't get into it. All you knew is he was happy to see you. It was a good day.
Yes.
And that's what we should tear out of his playbook. That's well said. That's the lesson.
Wagis maram bienario meng.
That is right. So, God, and the open casket is weird because when you're so used to seeing people and they're so full of life and they're always doing a thing, you're just kind of waiting for them to pop up.
But I'm glad we don't do that, our people.
Yeah. Also, Ozzy's ex-wife, Sylvia, used to wear a lot of White Diamonds perfume.
Oh.
And
these have always brought me luck.
Yes, Liz Taylor. Yeah. And it was a lot. It was so much that if she ever cleaned my house, I'd open the front door and I knew. And but the house was 6,000 square feet. I opened the front door. I was like, oh, where's Sylvia? Because I can fucking smell her. Once I announced that to Jimmy, Jimmy bought her a chub pack size. He bought her a 7-liter bottle.
Sure.
He bought her a fucking growler of White Diamonds and then told her,
you love it.
Adam loves this essence. So double down.
That's great.
And of course, she doubled down. Now, what she would do then is she would pick up Sonny and Natalia. Oh, I love them so much when they were two. Wow. And then at some point, I'd come home and the onesies were polluted with White Diamonds because she had it all over. All over her, but evidently it's a familial thing because the entire tent smelled like White Diamonds.
Wow.
This was her. This is her kin. This is her sister. The mom.
Wow.
Everyone is just
scent.
Doused in White Diamonds. So it's not a pleasant fragrance for the ladies.
It's even a dot of it is overpowering.
Yes.
So if you really shan't put you that's the kind where you spray and you leap through it like a gazelle and you keep walking. You don't spray it White Diamonds directly on your body.
Well, she had a dunk tank with White Diamonds in it, and that tent smelled like it harkened back to a simpler time. When I was in my house and she was cleaning it covered with White Diamonds.
Sure.
All right. I also got a note from Nate that Bill Whittington died in a plane crash. And who's Bill Whittington? Bill Whittington is he's of the Whittington brothers.
Oh,
the with the car.
Yes. These guys were the craziest, fastest, hardest driving
souped
nut
up.
Jobs. Ever. I mean, again, they show up at Le Mans in 1979. They've never driven at Le Mans. It's the biggest 24-hour race in the world. They are slated to drive with one professional driver who's driven the K3 Kramer 935 Porsche. The guy who runs the team explains to them they'll go after the professional driver, takes his stint out there for 2 hours, and then come back in, and they'll do tires and fuel, and then you'll jump out, and the other guy will jump in. These guys are so nuts, they go, we're going first. And the guy owns the car is like, you're not going first. You've never even driven this car. This guy's a professional German. He's campaigned this car all over Europe. And then it's like, what if he gets in a crash? What if the car breaks? Like, well, then that's racing, and that's it.
Yeah.
The car's out. You're out. You don't race. And they're like, fuck that. How much for the car? It's the craziest, ballsiest move
that's
ever.
Great.
And then the guy throws out a price that's nuts for back, you know, 1979. Right. It's like $250,000. Like, all right,
done.
Go to the trailer, get a duffel bag of cash, throw it at the guy, and go, now we go first.
That's F me money.
Then they win the race outright.
That's badass.
Last production car, not GTP, not supercar, not prototype. last production car of any car, based on a 911, the 935 is a kind of production car. It's the last one to ever win that race.
That's
outright.
Insane.
They win it outright.
So that because that's not the only, that's by far the not even close to the only crazy thing about these guys. This wasn't the car with the extra juice.
They had later on when they brought the car back here, they were trying to hide nitrous bottles in it and
right.
weld it into the floorboards and stuff and cheat. And they're just nuts. And they were doing things like their car had no sponsorships mm-hmm. because they were making money through nefarious ways and funding the racing. But racing
it's
is
that
so,
cartel on the side.
Racing is so expensive. Car dash. So racing is so expensive that everyone immediately gets suspicious. Where's your sponsorship? Right. How can you afford this? So then they create a perfume company to then put on the side of right. their car, but the perfume company, they create a bunch of the suntan Shelf. Lotion and stuff like that that doesn't actually right. exist so they mm-hmm. can make anyway. So then they end up going to prison. Then they get out. He dies day before yesterday in a plane crash. He was piloting it. He's the guy who the story goes with, a P-51 Mustang. Now, this isn't the plane he crashed. A P-51 Mustang is the hairiest plane from World War II. That's the plane that Tom Cruise owns,
okay.
but it's one of the only trainers.
Okay.
Tom Cruise would never fly a P-50 Mustang solo.
Sure.
It's too insane. But it's a very fast plane. It's a plane we put out at the end of World War II and hauled ass. It was like the fastest piston-driven plane of World War II. Anyway, he buys one, and he's going to race it in the Reno Air Races, which is the craziest event ever. It's racing with airplanes around pylons. They get 8 feet off the ground on a fucking airplane going 400 miles an hour. It's nuts. And then in Reno tells some other guys that who are like flying back to Florida or something or Texas, he goes, I'm gonna fly the Mustang. I'm gonna fly this crazy single seat World War II, you know, 1940s vintage, whatever.
Of course you are.
I'll meet you in Florida or Texas, or he's going to meet these guys. I'm going to take the Mustang. And then he goes out to fly the Mustang back to Texas and hits a fog bank over the Gulf of Texas and then has to ditch the place, has to ditch the plane into the Gulf of Texas.
Like full on ejector seat?
No ejector seats in those planes. You just feathered them and just
he
right
glided,
at the end.
He glided it into the water, basically?
Oh, Don, his brother, ditched a P-51, not Bill.
Dude.
Yeah, you do what's called, you flare it, they call it. Like you come in on your glide slope, you come in on glide slope, and the last second, you just pull back a little, pull a little wheelie and set the rear in first and see if you can kind of coast in. But
I guess Tom Hardy did in Dunkirk.
Right. That's
right.
That's basically
what he did. Then later on ends up in prison and then but his brother Bill is the one, I guess, who died in the plane. Now, he was piloting, probably trying to do something crazy in the plane, if I know him. Not a military plane, just like a twin engine, whatever. Oh. But so now one of the Winningtons is gone. I don't know if his brother Don is still around. I think he is. But
it was a life fully lived.
Yeah, and it's also one of those things where you do all these crazy races, you do all these crazy airplane things, you run with all these crazy gun-toting guys, you end up in prison for a long time, and then at the very end, you just die in a plane crash.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kind of appropriate.
Yeah, kind of appropriate. The other thing I wanted to get into is speaking of cars, I don't know.
Don's still alive, by the way.
75. Oh, Don's still alive. All right. So here's an interesting thing. It has to do with the well-being. I talked to someone on Take a Knee about, you know, well-being and about resetting your system and kind of shocking your system and resetting your system. And then we were kind of talking about things you could do. Like you could do the mindfulness stuff, you can meditate, you can whatever, but you can quickly kind of reset your system. Sort of like why everyone feels so great after a 20-minute nap.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Just go down,
sure.
15, 20-minute nap, and you reset your system. And I said, yeah, I think the cold water plunge resets your system.
Yeah.
And And then I started thinking about this, and so maybe people want to do this. So I was thinking extreme cold will reset you. You just need to reset.
Kind of shock yourself a little.
Right. The plan is you don't think about anything for 2 minutes, and then you're
out of your head.
Yeah. Right. Now you're back. Now right. You're rebooted versus sort of run down.
Right.
But I was interviewing Tucker Carlson last week, and he was talking about his like extreme hot saunas, and mm-hmm. I said, "Well, I couldn't go into a sauna if I was in the midst of writing a 20-page opening monologue, which he writes for his show almost every day. I would just sit in the sauna, and my head would be like, oh, now I got this idea. Right. Oh, now I got that idea. I'd be sitting there." And then he said, "Oh, but once you get to 180 degrees, you have no ideas."
What?
And I thought, yeah. Oh, yeah, that makes sense. I have no ideas when I'm in a cold, freezing mm-hmm. pool. I have no ideas about, I got to write this, or I got to remember to right. bring that up. Yeah. And it's like, if you go pure hot, you sit around 110, 120 degrees, you'll sit there and have mm-hmm. ideas. You get to 180 plus, you don't have
you're
ideas.
Just sweating.
How long do you sit in there before you keel over?
He said he sat in there about 20 minutes, get out, take a break, then go back in for 20 minutes. But either way, the moral of the story, kids, is you need to reset yourself constantly. If you think about the opposite of resetting is you eating chips in front of the TV for hours on end.
Right.
That's you
right.
not resetting. You dunking yourself in freezing water mm-hmm. for 2 minutes is a reset, and you mm-hmm. getting in a piping hot sauna for 15 minutes or 5 yeah, minutes right. or whatever, that's a reset. So think about ways to yeah. reset.
I was trying to find the name of that show, and I don't know if they're even still doing it, but this flies in the face a little, but I'm sure it wasn't 180. Remember the Gabrielle Reese podcast that she had mm-hmm. when she would do it inside the sauna?
Yeah.
I think it was called The Truth Barrel.
That's it.
Yes.
That would be
she,
a tough
she came
cut.
In here to promote it. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. You go into the hot sauna, and then you'd go into the freezing
right.
pool, and then Laird Hamilton would put a bunch of dumbbells in your underpants and tell you to walk from the shallow
yes.
end to the
at the bottom of the pool.
To the deep end.
Right.
I know everything was about training for the big wave fall, but I'm like, yeah, stay on the board. We don't have to worry about this.
I'm going
to
say something I never thought before, but I agree wholeheartedly with Tucker Carlson. Back, I used to do the poor man's version of this, which was my gym has a sauna and a steam room.
Whoa, yeah.
Sweet. Steam room is even harder because it's like hot
yeah,
water basically
humidity.
Surrounding you. I'd go steam room, I'd go sauna for a while, 20, 30 minutes. Cold shower, like all the way cold for like
right.
5 minutes, right back into the steam room because you're supposed to do the alternating hot and cold.
Right. And what were you thinking about then?
No, nothing.
Nothing.
I was in ignorance bliss.
Right.
How your balls probably went really low, then really
yes.
high, really low. Really.
So
yo-yo balls.
Right. Yeah, that's yeah. It was like he was testing the landing gear out on a plane. So the point is find that
yeah.
and reboot and reset and do it. Do it with those. They have those like one man saunas now. Just plug them in. You know they're small.
Plug in.
Yeah. They're pretty accessible.
Wow.
Yeah, they're pretty accessible now.
Registry.
last but not least, everyone was talking about that video with the 16-year-old and the knife and the cop mm-hmm. and they're getting different angles on it. And everyone has their ideas about firing warning shots. Joy Behar wanted him to fire a warning shot
like
and all that
West.
Kind of stuff. I don't know.
Dance!
She wouldn't have probably wanted that if someone had peeled back a knife and was going to plunge it into her, but good enough for her. But anyway, there's another part of that video that I kept kind of noticing, but no one else really noticed it, which is the cop pulls up and there's whatever the scuffle has spilled out to the lawn. Mm-hmm. And then the cop pulls up in the cop car. It's daytime. Like, a couple of things. Back in the day when the cops pulled up, it was time to, like, pour your beer out.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're holding a
yeah.
knife, you throw it into a hedge or
swallow
something.
Your roach.
Swallow the roach. Pour the beer out.
Yep.
Like, the fucking popo pulled up
yep.
in a cruiser. It's not time to escalate.
Correct.
The cop pulled up. But the cop pulled up. And he got out of the car, and he was, like, telling everyone to cool it. And then the chick with the knife charged, and she knocked over this other gal with the dreads, who I'm presuming is a minor because they blurred her face out. But the part, then the cop like showed up to that, like, what's going on? He started to draw his gun. As he was drawing his gun, a guy, an adult male, did a full football drop kick on the chick that was on the ground. Did you guys notice that?
I haven't seen the video.
You can watch it. It's not as crazy as trying to stab somebody with a knife in front of a cop, but it's up there. I'd say a general disregard for the law. So he comes up and he's like, "What's going on?" She pushes this chick down. The chick falls down, and the guy does a full kicks her in the face. With the cop standing 3 feet away from him, pulling his gun out. Yeah. And this guy's like, I think now would be a good time to drop kick this chick
who's another angle?
Laying on the ground.
The cop. Yeah.
So you got the body cam. The chick goes down. Look at this guy's kick.
Oh.
He's standing right in front of the cop who's got his gun out, and he's going to kick a teenage girl in the head who's laying on the ground.
Crazy.
I'm just saying, people, when the cops show up, keep the feet on the ground.
Mellow out.
Drop the knife. It's going to be
kicking.
No kicking.
Yeah. Less kicking.
I don't know what your relationship with the law is. The cop is standing 3 feet from you, and he's pulling his gun out of the holster. And you go, now would be a good time to go full Doug Flutie on this.
Wow, drop kick.
Drop kick.
Last one in NFL history.
Full Doug Flutie on this teenage chick's head who's laying at the cop's feet.
Yeah.
Sadly, the Doug Flutie thing, we could explain it to Gina, but I don't think she would have any appreciation whatsoever.
No.
I feel like I get it. I get the general vibe.
Yeah.
Sadly, you don't.
Oh, okay.
No, he did a crazy thing that had not been done in 30 years, but it doesn't look that impressive if you don't like know the mechanics of it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
yes.
Lost on me.
Yes. All right. Let's see. Let me hit, and we got the Rotten Tomatoes game to play with that Ron Funches. Essay, multi-use face shields, the perfect piece of protective gear for your next adventure. Perfect for your next outdoor adventure. Whether you're working in the sun or the cold or hunting or hiking or fishing or skiing or biking, dozens of eye-catching designs for men, women, and children. One size fits all, machine washable, and a lifetime warranty as well. In partnership with Operation Gratitude, they've donated over 100,000 face shields to those on the front lines of the pandemic. So for every order, SA donates one face shield to a first responder. So a good cause and a better product. Essay, multi-use face shields, right, Dawson?
Stay protected outdoors, because right now you can get an insane deal. Buy one, get four free, $150 value for just $24.99. Go to safishing.com/Adam to get five face shields for the price of one, plus a lifetime warranty and free returns if you're not satisfied. That's safishing.com/Adam.
All right, take a quick break. Back with comedian Ron Funches right after this. Hey, Geico, do you own? Do you rent? Well, you do one or the other, right? You know, it's hard work out there. Owning, renting. You want to save some money? How about you bundle? Bundle your policies at Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle the homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you got so much to do already. Go to geico.com, get a quote, see just how much you could save at Geico. That is Geico.com today. That's Geico.com.
Corolla Drinks fans, 818 Rye Whiskey is available now at CorollaDrinks.com. 818 is a whiskey from Adam's backyard, not the gated communities in the same area code. It's aged 3 years in new American oak and couples a malty sweetness with a complex rye finish. Adam and the team made this whiskey for fans of the show. They made this whiskey for the regulars. Get your bottle of 818 Rye at CorollaDrinks.com. Hurry, we will sell out.
It's time for Nicaraguan Name That Movie with Adam's buddy Oswaldo. See if you can guess which movie this famous line is from.
Yes, when I thought I was out, they put me back in.
If you said, The Godfather, Part 3.
Just when I thought I was out, They pull me back in.
You're correct. Now, back to the show.
Ron Funches has joined us. The movie Golden Arm, it's available on Apple TV Digital and select theaters on Friday. Official selection of the 2020 South by Southwest Film Festival. Thank you very much. And the podcast Getting Better with Ron Funches as well. Good to see you, Ron.
Good to see you. Thanks for having me.
I have not seen Golden Arm yet because I don't think it was made available for us to see, but we'll talk about it in a second. But I was just watching you on the last Blockbuster, the documentary on Netflix on the last Blockbuster video store, which is kind of interesting doc.
Yeah, it's really interesting. They reached out to me and just came to my house. I was familiar. I mean, of course, very familiar with Blockbuster. Spent many a night in there as my youth. And then I was familiar with the last Blockbuster because I lived in Bend, Oregon for a time. And so it was really fun to talk about.
Yeah, it's a strangely compelling documentary. I don't know why. It doesn't sound like it would be, you know, the stuff of compelling docs, but it's very compelling. It's a good doc.
Yeah, I think it's when something is so ubiquitous to us that's like always around us that we think it's going to be there forever in our youth and then it's just gone. Like you have just an interest in it, whether it's like, you know, an old toy or an old video store. The fact that it was such a big part of childhood, a big part of how things have changed now to where you don't have that like feel of, is it going to be there? Is the thing I want available? Mm-hmm. You just go and click a button. And so our, you know, our kids seem like that. They don't have any idea what that fun was like of like running into your friends at a Blockbuster or things like that. It was, I think it's interesting to talk about.
Or the horror of picking up the white box and going, it's here, and having nothing behind it to take to the counter. That was the worst feeling.
Yeah, I think what we're really talking about is foreplay. Mm-hmm. Like if you really think about, I don't know, I've never really thought about it, but life is sort of the rules that apply sexually will apply to life, you know, your impulse is I got to get my dick in some pussy or some asshole or in a mouth or something like now.
Right. Sure.
But we all know it's better if you go to a nice dinner. Uh-huh. And you light
it. Put your dick in the steak.
And you put your dick in right the in the waitress's mouth. No, you light a candle. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's just better, but sure. We don't want to do it. Right. But it's better. And the on demand, like my kids with 10,000 movies, they don't have that foreplay of like get in the car, drive
the
here, not sure if they got it.
Yeah. Dude, Disney Plus, like with everything just available from the entire catalog from Snow White to today. Like remember, like things would come out for a limited time.
Back in the vault, it's going back in the vault.
No, you had a month to watch Pinocchio,
right?
Yeah, these kids are just coming all over the place anytime they want. They don't know what it's like to get a little bit of blue balls, to get a little bit of rejection. They're just fucking whenever they want.
Yep. That's exactly what they're doing these days.
Did you guys do the same sad thing that I did when I was like 11 or 12 and like I wanted to see Batman, but Blockbuster was obviously rented out or whatever it was. I would kind of stand by the drop box and like, hey, what that person just drop off? of course. I had nothing to do when I was 12.
Where there was always the promise of maybe it got dropped off, but it hasn't been restocked. Yeah, right.
Check the counter.
You have to go check the counter, right?
Yes, checking the counter. That was one. That was the move that made you feel like an insider.
So, Golden Arm. Let's talk about that one for a second. I don't know anything about it, so tell us. Catch us up.
It is a wonderful comedy that stars Mary Holland, Betsy Sidero, Eugene Cordero, myself, many others. It's basically a female buddy comedy take of over the top. It's an arm wrestling movie starring two hilarious ladies. And I play Carl, the owner of the arm wrestling establishment and lover and purveyor of strong women. So I just stay being myself.
So good.
And like I said, it'll be in select theaters. I guess people should go to a website that's not probably in front of me
right now. Yeah, just get it on demand. Go to Amazon. It'll be available at all the on-demand things.
Or eat your finer movies.
How
Blockbuster.
Ron, I'm looking at the bottom of my thing here. It says you once weighed 360 pounds. How did you lose all that weight?
I just started exercising and stopped eating bad food.
Hold on, let me write that.
Yeah, I gotta make sure I heard that correctly.
That sounds like foreplay to me. I know.
Get my dick people in some always fudge. Like, what happened? Did you what surgery or magical bullet? But it was literally, it was just I started exercising and I started drinking protein shakes and stopped eating Philly cheesesteaks.
I know. People hate that news because it means they should be doing it too.
Yeah, I know.
Well, what else did you do?
Yeah.
Some herbal supplement.
Yeah. How much fen-fen did you supplement with that?
You worked with a holistic healer, right. Coffee enemas. Come on, it's got to be something.
What was on your vision board?
I know, the worst answer. I had a friend that was real heavy, and then he wasn't. And I said, what did you do? And he went, I started walking.
And
he's like, that's about it.
Next.
Yeah.
I know it's amazing how many diet books are sold when it's really just, you know what you're not supposed to eat, you know what you are supposed to eat, and we all know the part about you breaking a sweat.
That's right.
I cannot believe. And how long ago, how long have you had the weight off?
It's been 3-4 years now. Been keeping it off, staying focused on it, trying to push it a little bit more. So it's just constant part of my life and just knowing that that's going to be a struggle. But I mean, it saved my life in the pandemic, just knowing that like in the morning, it's going to go lift weights. And if I had nothing to do in the night, it's going to go lift weights, go on that treadmill, gave me something to do.
I know you got some dates coming up. Wise Guys Salt Lake City, which is a fun club to play, and Stand Up Live at Phoenix as well. Wise Guys, May 7th and 8th, and June 4th and 5th in Phoenix at Stand Up Live. Are you doing a lot of dates? Have you been doing dates?
No, a lot of comedians have been fighting against this void of like, you know, the pandemic, doing the Zoom shows. I've done occasional Zoom show, but mostly I just gave in. I'll just start over when it's time to get back on the road. I don't mind sucking for a little while. I've just been doing a lot of voiceovers, a lot of acting. I'm hosting a new show, Chop 420, on the Discovery Plus app, which is fun because I get to eat food that's full of weed and get paid to get high and really show my mom that she was wrong on all accounts when it came to me.
Ron cracked the code on the pandemic in every way, between the exercising and the TV work and everything.
I've been very blessed. I just keep my head down and count my blessings, girl.
Can you stay on a schedule? Had you stayed on a schedule with the pandemic? Because I think that's the hard part for a lot of people. Like, they don't have to get up or be anywhere or catch a plane, so then they start drifting.
Yeah, no, that's exactly it. But I think, you know, I've always had the ability to drift for the last few years if I wanted to. I don't have, you know, I kind of keep my own schedule. So, I just been good at keeping that schedule. That's why I have the workouts there to book in my days. And then I am either writing something, working on something. There's no more. That's the thing. Like you said, the instant gratification is just the stuff that I miss. I miss the pop of going out and do crowds. So I'm excited to get back to do some shows. But I was going out like, you know, 3 weekends a month and doing shows when I was home, and then acting and doing stuff on the weekdays, burning myself out. So I don't really want to get back to that. I think maybe 1 or 2 weekends a month will be my max in the future, and just keep working on acting and other stuff because I'm liking it.
Here's circling back to Blockbuster. Here's an interesting philosophical question for everybody. I've noticed that there is value in recognition of names of brands that are defunct. And I like cars. And so it's like Bugatti was gone for 70 years and then Bugatti came back. Like, someone goes,
was it literally gone or was it like no one paid attention to it?
I think it was, Chris can check, but I think Bugatti was literally gone for a number of years. They hung out, made little attempts, but they seem to be gone. Alfa Romeo was kind of gone. There's like these companies were gone. And then they came back, you know, new management, new ownership, new structures, you know, some German company or something ends up buying them. But there's some value in the fact that we know what a Bugatti is. Bugatti was defunct in 1963. Wow. And then came back with a supercar that set the land speed record, essentially. But what does that mean? There's some value in Blockbuster. Like,
I think it's ironic value. I don't think anyone would actually go to a Blockbuster to get a movie.
It's nostalgia.
Well, they're not going to go under the old model.
Right.
Is there a Blockbuster streaming channel or a Blockbuster something that is not
that? That's a good point.
Yeah, because that's the thing. Like, the Netflix model was not turn on your TV and watch anything you want. It was stick it in the mail.
Yeah,
it'll
mail
come to you when
to
it comes to you. And they evolve. So I think you're right. I think for our generation, it would be badass to have like a Blockbuster streaming channel.
And in as much as, you know, no publicity is bad publicity, like the ironic nostalgia is just nostalgia. You know, at the end of the day, it's like, yeah, you can like it ironically, but it's still something you're thinking about.
You're still paying for it.
Yeah. Well, we're talking about they're making movies out of Rock'em Sock'em Robots.
That's right.
And they're making movies out of, they're making all these dumb movies from toys that we remember when we were kids.
Mm-hmm. Legos are huge.
Some value in it. Thoughts, Ron?
I mean, that's what I pitched in the documentary. Why not a Blockbuster dispensary? Just some place where you could go smoke, pick out your latest movie, meet some friends. I just want a general hangout spot. It's not going to be probably a very profitable business, but that's why the weed's there to prop it up for me.
So you grew up out here in SoCal and then moved to Chicago? Was that your childhood?
Yeah, I'm born, for 4 years. I was here till I was four, moved to Chicago, moved to Oregon, and then came back here.
And the Oregon was the Blockbuster chapter in your life.
Mm-hmm. And Chicago. Well, I guess in Chicago we also had Hollywood Video.
Oh yeah.
Better.
Yeah. God. Mm-hmm.
They had a porn section.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Blockbuster never had a porn section.
Blockbuster would sometimes take out controversial scenes or like extreme violence, and that didn't sit well with a lot of movie purists.
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
I know that.
Oh, yeah. That was it's well documented.
Wow.
Yeah. The Walmart style. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, it seems weird to try to compete minus porn back then. It seems like you're hobbling yourself.
Yeah,
that's all the little ones had, little stores, because Blockbuster was the only game in town.
And it kept the beaded curtain people in business.
That's right.
Because who else is buying that?
The beaded door jam, yeah. Mm-hmm. I went to a place that had Western doors, which
saloon doors.
I always liked that. Yeah, the saloon doors. Ron, where'd you rent your porn back in the day?
New sheriff in town.
Well, they wouldn't let me. By the time I could rent porn, that was gone. So I, my young porn days were watching the scrambled pornography on the pay-per-views where you could hear the noises and just hope to make out a nipple or, use your imagination. You could make it whatever you want at the time.
I remember once trying to take a picture of a TV set that had nudity on it, literally a Polaroid. Mm-hmm. That's how fucking insane.
It's a hard up you were.
Yeah.
And I think when you're young, you'll just find sex scenes that I remember, Wild Things, one of my favorite movies. I think there was a scene in Muriel's Wedding that I could masturbate to as a teen. I found it.
Oh, I forgot about that.
As a teen, though, you can masturbate just about anything.
That's true. I don't know. Man, I could still get it going to Muriel's Wedding. Why not?
Yeah, I had one of my earliest masturbatory mashups as a teen is I loved Linda Carter from Wonder Woman, and I loved Cheryl Ladd from Charlie's Angels. Mm-hmm. I had those two meeting in my mind.
Wow. Getting to know each other?
Yes.
A crossover episode?
Yes. There was no... It didn't actually exist, but right. I willed it.
That's great. Nice. Superpower.
You use that golden lasso. You get everything involved.
Oh, we got
lasso
the truth. We got the truth out of Cheryl.
Battle of the Network Stars.
Battle of the Network Stars was the best back then. Probably, Ron, you're probably a little young for Battle of the Network
I don't
Network
remember
Stars.
That one. American Gladiators is what I remember. Mm-hmm. But I love them. I think they're doing a 30 for 30 on American Gladiators. I can't
wait. Oh, really?
Wait. Oh, I'd like to see that.
Sweet.
Yeah, I would watch a 30 for 30 on Tupperware. Like, that's how we do 30 for 30. Empty Tupperware. Yeah. I don't care. That's how much I like 30 for 30. But I wonder when that's coming out. Where'd you hear that, Ron?
I just saw it on Twitter, and it got me excited because, I love Turbo. I love all the people. Mm-hmm. I love contestants. Wesley Two Scoops Berry. I used to have a bit about Wesley Two Scoops Berry that I would do. The only competitor that became a gladiator. I love him.
Oh, really?
Yes.
I used to watch it a little bit. It was always were you always rooting for the contestant? I was always rooting for the contestant.
I was usually rooting for the contestant unless they were overly cocky, and then I wanted them to get taken out.
Sure.
And then they also had that one gladiator, I think that was a lady named Storm, and I liked her because I could tell that she was like Storm from the X-Men Storm. And I was like, I like that too.
Well, I'm seeing right here, just from Twitter, a revival of the popular physical competition show American Gladiators is in the works from Seth Rogen.
Oh, that
maybe
really
there
is.
Will be a 420
They've rebooted
element.
It a couple times. Nice. Gina Carano was in the like 05-06 version. She was like Crush or something.
Yeah, I guess the theme is everything's just coming back.
Yeah,
everything that you've if you've heard of it, it has some value, right? Because you went, have you heard of this thing? And you go, yes, I have. And they go, all right, now it has value. Now we're going to do it. How's your son doing, Ron?
He's doing great. We just had his 18th birthday a couple days ago.
We're
very happy. I feel like I won an NBA championship over here. I was like, new feelings. I didn't know what it was like to have an adult kid. But as soon as he turned 18, I was just like, I'm so proud of me. Of how far I've made.
It's the son. It's not the daughter.
No, he took his
kid. Where'd he go?
Where'd he went?
Yeah. Oh, sorry. Hey, buddy. We got Ron Funches in here. And he's got bunches of fun with him. Speaking of fun, that's his son. Oh! Oh, he just turned 18. You can shove a knee high. Ronnie, get yourself a protein shake. Rest of you. Quit your grinning and drop your linen. Jade, stage seven. Ron's a big celebrity. Come on, he's doing stand-up all over. You guys seen the Golden Arm movie? Oh, no one here has? Well, how about that blockbuster movie on that? Nobody? Okay, stop. Listen, you threatened me. That's a federal law right there, buddy. Hey, buddy. Ron Burton. Now, if Ron's son was Jewish, he'd be 189 by now, because he already would have been a man. But he don't swing that way. He turned 18, so get him a knee high and a Shirley Temple. Get Ron a Muscle Milk, and let's get up there and shake that moneymaker. Ron ain't going to make it rain, but he might make it drizzle. Give him change for a dollar. Let's see if this happens. Thank you. Sorry, now I got the...
Was it like that?
How was the party?
Was that the birthday? Yes.
No, we just went and saw Mortal Kombat. It was fun. We saw a bunch of fatalities. That was good.
That's helpful.
Pretty sweet.
Yeah.
Oh, you saw Mortal Kombat.
Mm-hmm.
I passed a billboard for that. I was like, is that a thing? Good. Is it good?
New movie.
It was good. If you like the game, if you into the mythos, yes.
Oh, it's streaming on HBO as
HBO
well.
Max, yeah.
So, mm-hmm. But you went into the theater?
Yeah, I rented out a theater. It's
you rented
my son
it out.
My wife nice. Just hung, just the Ooh, three of us,
that's
and
a
we
power move.
Watched the movie. It truly was. It was his 18th birthday.
That is awesome.
So, wait a minute. This is a power move. Just the three of you in the theater?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
How is that these days? Is it, you can get it at a better price because they're at half capacity or whatever?
Oh, so much better. I mean, to be honest with you, it was like $200. So yeah, why not just do this every time?
I know a couple of friends who've done this, and the AMC, at least mm-hmm. by me, is like, you can rent the theater for a new movie for like $300. But if you want to watch like a library selection, like Back to the uh-huh. Future or something like that, it's like $99. You bring up to 20 people.
I would love that.
That's true.
And a cute picture.
Is it? Are these matinee? Like, are these daytime prices?
They're all
at 5. Yeah, we're 5 p.m. We went.
Are you at the place in Hollywood? Right off of Hollywood there? I'm looking at the picture.
It says El Capitan, I think. No, it doesn't. It's a Scorpion.
Which one? Which one did you go to?
Oh, we went to Cinemark. Cinemark over, I forget where it is. I don't know. But yeah, that's us. Pretend, right afterwards, he said, I'm going to take your spine. When that made me happy, I was like, he's really paid attention to the movie.
That's good.
He retained a lot.
He did.
Wait a minute. But was your wife miserable at least watching Mortal Kombat?
No, that was the best part. Thank you for bringing it up. It was really fun because at one point I just looked over at her. She's just reacting and she goes, I didn't know it was going to be this violent. And I was like, did you think this was Mortal Kombat? What did you think this was?
All right. Let's see. I got a spot here, and then we got the Rotten Tomatoes game. Yes, Gina.
Real quick before we get off this tip, if anyone's interested, I'm not saying that I'm in it, but I will say that the new installment of Street Fighter V has come out with the character Rose. Mm-hmm. Gigi Harris, for union reasons, is back.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, my married name will be Harris. And so, yeah, my new Rose is out in Street Fighter V. So people seem
You're
pretty excited about that.
For
yeah,
that?
I always do for Rose.
I'll check that out. I'll play that on my Twitch.
Oh, good.
Playing a lot of games on my Twitch.
Oh, that's me. It's the music. Story,
that's
though.
You.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
you're Rose.
I'm Rose. Yeah.
Oh yeah, I'm the guy Rose is fighting too, Ron. If you're impressed, purple slacks. Well, they call it purple slacks.
I have always wanted to be a voice in a video game, so I'm very much and truly impressed.
Oh well, good.
Take this in the spirit in which it's intended, Ron. But I don't know if you can sound menacing.
Oh, I can.
Oh, you can.
I can. Well, if I have to.
All right, so let's see if we can work this out. Say, I shall take your spine and eat it like linguine.
Okay. I'm going to take your spine and eat it like linguine.
Oh, you know what? Good. I stand corrected.
I got a little chill on my neck.
I stand corrected.
Thank you. Woo. Thank you so much.
For a second, I thought it was directed at me, and I was like, back off, Ron. Yeah. All right, let's see if we can try a few more of these wild lines just to see.
Okay. Menacing. Menacing.
All right. Menacing. All right. I will. I'm going to punch my hand through your rib cage and pull out your heart.
I'm going to punch my hand through your rib cage and then I'm going to pull out your heart if you don't mind.
Yeah, that's good. I like you putting your own flavor at the end there.
This is nightmare fuel.
Okay. Let's see. Okay. I'm going to vanquish you and then have sex with your fiance in front of your corpse.
I'm going to vanquish you and then have sex with your fiance in front of your corpse because that's what she wanted. And I'm just trying to give her what she needs.
Wow.
That's a little menacing.
I didn't think it was going to work.
Yeah, it does.
At first, Ron, but man,
I'm scared.
I stand. Let's just do like 27 more of these.
No news.
Let's see. Let's try this. I'm going to rip off your left ear, saute it, and eat it while you bleed out on the ground.
I'm going to rip off your left ear, saute it. Just make sure I have a nice oil and garlic melody for flavor. And then I'm going to eat it while you bleed out. I don't even have the time to finish you off.
That's good.
That's real
man.
Chilling.
Mm-hmm. That one scared me.
Yeah. Well, look, I know we got a lot of high-end video producers who listen to the show. So if you people are checking this out, you may want to blow Ron's phone up because I think there's something here. And also, in all seriousness, you know, the way over the it's all been done before.
Out.
It's played out. Mm-hmm.
But that smile is freaky.
Yeah.
You want someone who has a joy in the murdering.
Yeah.
That's
mm-hmm.
right. Yeah. I like that.
Great mm-hmm. big smile.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Much more menacing. All right. Let me hit Sunday here. Oh, brown spots, weeds, all that on your front lawn. Nobody wants that. And spring is sprung, baby. So you can get custom lawn care and they'll put a plan together from Sunday. It takes a guesswork out of unwanted chemicals, so you can grow a beautiful lawn that's better for people, better for pets, better for the planet. Mike August is all over this. He absolutely loves it. He uses Sunday. You get to Sunday. It's the website is getsunday.com. Put your home address in, and they'll give you a free lawn analysis. It's a tool. It takes care of the rest in just seconds. Sunday uses soil and climate data to create a tailored nutrient plan. See, this is what we need, a smart lawn. Everything is sent straight to your door, and it's right when you need it. Get a beautiful, beautiful lawn this year with Sunday, right, Dawson?
Let Sunday take the guesswork out of growing a greener, more beautiful lawn this spring. Visit GetSunday.com/Adam to get $20 off your custom lawn plan at checkout. That's $20 off your custom plan at GetSunday.com/Adam.
All right, we'll take a quick break, come back with Ron, and we'll play the Rotten Tomatoes game. And we expect a lot out of you, Ron, because you know movies, right after this.